Wait a minute. That's not me. I'm not. Oh, hey, there it is.
There we are. There we are.
How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm under hydrated.
I don't have my cup. I do have some tea, but I don't have. I just have my regular plain old mug this morning or this afternoon.
I feel like I haven't had water in like weeks. You ever had like? I know I hydrate and I know I drink water, but like sometimes I just don't feel like I have had any water.
I don't have that problem. I drink water all the time. Like
that's what I'm talking about. Even though I'm drinking water, I still feel like I haven't had any water. Is that a thing?
I think that's a health problem. I think you might want to get that checked out. Not to scare you or anything, but I want to get that checked out. Jason, this went dark. Okay. So what are we talking about today, Jason? Do you remember?
Yes. I want to talk about interviews. So I had a conversation with a buddy of mine yesterday, and
actually he was in both of our weddings, wasn't he?
Yes. He's thinking about changing careers, and it's been, I don't know, 5 years maybe or more that he's been doing this thing. And he's like, it's been a long time since I've interviewed. I just like, let's just talk through some scenarios. Let's go over some ideas. Do you have any suggestions, thoughts, feedback, all that stuff? So we just got to talking and I was like, you know, I think this is valuable stuff that we could share with the community for people who are hustlers, right? So we're talking about our hustle machine folks here. And then obviously the wider Winjet community at large, but talking about entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, maybe people who are looking to hire someone and haven't really gone through that process before, or you know, flip side of it, people who are hustlers still trying to get that dream up and running off the ground, but they are looking to kind of get some insight into maybe how to have a career change in the meantime, and then also keep that side gig running. So
thanks, Paul.
Paul,
sweet. He's a sweet. That's right, man.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. So, so I want to talk about interviewing and being an interviewer. That's really what I want to talk about today.
Interviewee. Are we going to interview? Who are you looking at over there? You're looking at me or?
No, yeah. I have you on the side over here because I've been trying to share this post that we're live over here, and so I'm off the middle of the screen right now.
Oh, I see. I got you. Sorry.
Do you want to fill some air for a second so I can go and share this post real quick to our loving fans?
To Market House
for a second.
Yeah.
Chit-chat for a
second. Yeah, I think it's a good topic to talk about. I mean, obviously, as a podcaster, it's a little bit different format when you're trying to interview somebody than you are if you're in sitting down in an actual interview for a job, in this case, like you were talking about with Chris. But yeah, I think that any way that we can shed some light on what it looks like to, we went through the process a couple times this year with interviews internally for our team. What was funny is I talked to one of our employees she was talking to, I was talking about what we were going over today. She asked what we were going to talk about. And she said that she feels like it's, depending on the industry, there's a different style of interview that you have. Like she said, she listened to, cause we work remote. So we interviewed her remotely. And she said that when she was being interviewed by us, she said that her husband said that he felt like she was too nice and that she laughed a lot. And I was like, well, that's just because we're awesome and we make people laugh. But she was like, no, in this industry, you know, it doesn't have to be so cold. You know what I mean? And she was saying that she has been through interview processes with different industries where it was more cold and it was more straight laced and straightforward. So I think what would be interesting is, you know, so another time we could talk about that exact same thing here with, does it always have to be, does an interview have, like when you think of an interview, does it have to be so cold and stark? We like to make ours fun.
I think, but I think the biggest thing here is I don't know if it's industry specific though. Like,
could be personality.
I think it's all about personality, because I feel like you could go for a job interview as a doctor and still have a nice rapport that you've built and have like a laugh during the interview. I think it's all about who you're interviewing with, and which is why I think it's so important to have good interviewing skills as the person who is doing the interviewing. I think it's really important for you to nurture those skills. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to make sure that.
No, I think you're good. I think that's right. I was going to add to that. I was actually getting to that point where you just said, like, I don't know if necessarily has to always, it could be the industry, but I think that it also could come down to straight personality. Yeah.
So let's jump in.
Yes, do it.
No, it's fine. Nope, you had ahead. Something to say? Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was gonna ask you what's the worst interview you've ever been, like, you have been the interviewee, somebody's interviewing you. Have you ever had like a bad experience
being interviewed? No, I can't really think of one. I've had lots of experiences as the party who's the hiring manager, like the person who's interviewing. I mean, in my last position, I probably interviewed, I don't know, 150 different people for different jobs over the years. There was one awful one I remember very vividly, because it was... When I do interviews, I usually like to tag team. I don't really like to do one-on-one interviews, but I was doing a tag team interview, and
stepbrother style.
I was sitting directly behind him
in a tuxedo.
Yeah, no, but it was odd, because I feel like one of the biggest roadblocks that people can have, one of the biggest stumbling things, is when people go too personal into drama issues when they interview. And I think this interview, this lady started talking about all this drama in her life and wouldn't stop talking. And it was constant. It was on and on and on about all these different drama points that she had in her life. And I was just like, I can't, it was almost laughable, because she stopped listening to us as the interviewers and just kept talking and like just digging the hole deeper. Which is, you know, that leads me to one of the points that I was giving our friend last night, was I was like, when at all possible, be succinct. One of the biggest things that you can, pitfalls that you can fall into, is going too in depth when a very simple one sentence answer will do. And I think that's one of the things that trips people up a lot, is trying to over explain, which, I mean, a lot of us do it. We all do it, you know, to an extent, but over-explaining is something that's going to bite you in the butt.
I'm the world's worst at that. But I feel like in an interview, I feel like I tame it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, when we've interviewed a couple people, I think that I start to talk over people. I think that's one thing that you got to be careful of, is not to be comfortable with sitting in the silence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's okay to even think about what you have to say before you say it. Don't feel like you have to go and have immediately a response right away. It's okay to stop and think.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Paul. When I was 19, I went for a job interview at Staples. The manager interviewing me kept leaving the interview to answer his phone. I didn't get the job. I think it was because he was on the phone. He didn't give you the time.
He didn't.
Think about how your life would be different if you had crushed that copy center job at Staples.
You could be working right now. Not even the king of Staples. You could have started Dunder Mifflin.
You could have stock options.
And been a drink. Yeah. You could have started Dunder Mifflin, and
you could be the assistant to the regional manager.
You could have been like the next Dwight Schrute.
Yeah. But to your point, Paul, it's really important to it's really important to block off your schedule and not have any kind of like interruptions, because not only is it unprofessional, it's also incredibly rude to the person who's most likely in another position. They're looking for a job. They've taken time out of their day to try and carve out, probably secretly, that they're interviewing for this position. So they're like hiding in their car. Or we interviewed this guy one time. He was like, look, he was in the back of a closet.
Yeah, he was in a storehouse. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, you have to recognize that people are trying to better themselves and do an interview, but it's also very awkward. So make sure that the time that you've dedicated for that is sacred. So because it's very difficult for the other person, you know, talking through all of this, there's the old like business, it's an adage or phrase or whatever you call it. But it's slow to hire, quick to fire. And I tell you, as a as somebody who's like hiring for a position, I experienced this firsthand on how not to do it. And I feel like it was a test when I was at this company. And I had gone through a lot of people I was interviewing for this position, so I was taking my time. But I hired this guy. And it was like for like a semi internship, semi part-time position. And it just wasn't working out. And I felt like I was doing a disservice, not only to him, but to myself, by not giving it as much effort as possible to turn the situation around and not have to fire the guy. And I'll tell you that's one of the worst decisions that I've ever made in management, is letting it linger for far too long. It was evident almost within a few weeks that the kid wasn't going to work out in the position. As nice and as kind as he was, he just wasn't cut out for it. Wasn't good at the job, just wasn't for him. And I felt like it was like a personal thing where I needed to make him work out. And it just didn't do it. And even though my boss kept telling me, he goes, you know what, you might want to have to have the conversation. You've given him enough chances. It's probably time to let it go because it's not doing anybody any good. And that's a really hard lesson that I had to learn. I did take my time in hiring, but I lingered too long to let him go. And I ended up doing myself a disservice because I had to do all of his work as well. And I wasn't actively looking for a person to replace him. So, I said all that to say, it's really important when you're hiring to really take your time, when you're looking for that person, that fits. And, you know, there's one position I hired for one time, and I know specifically that I interviewed over 80 people for the position, because I wanted to find the person that not only fit for the job, but also fit with the company, somebody that I wanted to have on my team that I engaged with every day, you know?
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of companies, especially like in sales positions, when there's like a gap there. So if there's like a break where, somebody is no longer in the company, say in this example for sales. And so you lose a member of the team and you need to hire a replacement. Don't let yourself be pressured into making a quick decision. Because
you pay for it later.
Yeah. Every time I've seen that happen, it always ends up being bad. You might be the 1% that actually ends up, making a good call right off the bat. And you've only interviewed two people. But you know, don't let yourself be pressured into making that hire as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. What does he say? Kyle says 100%. Sometimes it's not the manager's fault. The employee just isn't a good fit. Yeah, dude, it's such a hard thing to come to the realization about. I've had a couple people I've had to let go over the years. Half of them were great people, great humans. They just weren't great for the job. The other half were I'm not going to say degenerates, but they were just terrible.
I'm not going to say it, but I am going to kind of hint towards
you can get fooled easily. Like, you know, sure. People going for a job because they're trying to present their best self and they're like, hey, I'm the coolest person ever. And then you hire and you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? I'm stuck with this person now. So,
but I think if you're going for an interview, as well, I think be honest in your responses, because at the same time, like what you're just saying, and what Kyle's saying, sometimes it's not the manager's fault. The employee just wasn't a good fit. But oftentimes what we see is people, will lie. There's Russ. Hey, Russ. Some people will lie in the interview just to get the job, right? Mm-hmm. So they will lie. But you got to be careful with that because you can tell when somebody's lying. And that's one of the things that, you know, when when you interview for the team, it's always important to maybe ask them a bunch of questions. Russ just made $100. Wait a minute. You're giving out $100. Okay. It's important not to lie. So when we do interviews, we always like to ask questions about the company, right? So we ask questions we want to see if you looked over our website, even if it's just basic stuff. Like, I still want to know, did you even look? Like, tell us what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
well, you know, apply for this
job. And what was funny, though.
Okay, go ahead.
But what's funny, though, is a lot of people will actually lie about it. Like, and we saw that in some of our interviews. We'd ask questions and then they start talking about and start saying a bunch of stuff. And you're like, that is not even close to what we do. Like, did you even look? And, you know, and I think one guy even asked him, said, did you read over it? Did you read over anything? And he was like, no. And I'm like, okay, first off, we can't trust you now. You lied. So I think it's important to not lie, because one thing is if you do get the job, now you're stuck, right? Now you're, what are you going to do now? You lied your way through the interview just to get the job, but now you actually have to do the stuff that they're asking you to do. And if you're not qualified, should you be in that position? Now you're going to be in a bigger hole than you already were. So I think it's important to not lie.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
You know, I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Just thinking through another thing, you know, when you're looking at, when you're the hiring party, when you're looking to someone to add to the team, make sure you have a good process for reviewing resumes, because the initial part of it is very surface value, right? So you're looking at a lot of resumes from a lot of people all over the place. And after a while, it can get a little monotonous and you won't want to be as diligent as you were when you first started on the first five. You know what I mean? You get to like 20 in and you're like, oh my gosh, all these people, like, how impressive is it that you know how to use Microsoft Office? Answer, not impressive at all. I don't care. Don't put it on there.
I assume you know how to do that.
Yeah. So I think the big thing to note is that do an initial just skim, right? Like go look through your thing and go look through the list of resumes, find people who catch your eye immediately and put them over into your yes pile. And then the no's, have your like immediate no's, like there are no ways this person qualified. And then have your maybes, you know, and then go through and give that person a second chance, because I'll tell you, there's people who I've interviewed before and I was like, you know what? This resume is awful, but I feel like there's something here. And I feel like those people have always ended up pretty far along in the process, because I'll tell you what, some people just suck at making resumes. Some people are terrible at self-promotion, right? Yeah. Some people just can't, they can't promote themselves in a way that really puts them in a best light. And every, you know, you go online, you Google how to create a resume. There's probably a million different templates and they all look terrible. And, you know, and they all say to do different things. Some people do a cover letter. Some people don't. So I think one of the biggest things is to not throw out somebody immediately until you give them a second chance. And so what I like to do is I like to do a pre-screen, just look through them, and then immediately find the people that I like, look over the others, find anybody I might have missed initially, and then set up like a quick call. Mm-hmm. I like to do like a 5 to 10 minute call just to say, hey, are you still interested? What do you know about the position? Let me know a little bit about yourself. And then you can move on to like a full, like actual interview, a full round of interviews. And if necessary, and another round later down the road, but don't let the look of a resume be the indicator of whether or not that person's going to be right for that job. Cause some people are just terrible at resumes. And they might be the best employee, but they could be terrible at setting it up.
Yeah. Yeah. But that shouldn't be an excuse. I don't think anybody should say, oh, you suck at interviews, or I suck at putting your resume together. I think that there's so much out there information wise. Yeah. There's templates, blah, blah, blah. But I always have had people look it over for me. So if you're going to an interview, have somebody look over your resume before you start submitting it to a bunch of different places and say, hey, does this make sense? Find somebody that you respect that maybe is over a large amount of people who, or not even a large amount of people who hire people on a consistent basis, and say, do you mind looking over my resume and just tell me if there's anything that's glaring that I should probably make some adjustments to? Cause I don't, no offense, but I think that's lazy when somebody, my internet was dropping out.
You're fine.
Am I still there? I don't think we should use that excuse. I think we should call people to a higher standard there, not making people lazy, and just go and find somebody who you respect. Go find somebody who,
yeah,
that you but could you trust. Know,
the thing is, some people don't have that though. That's what I'm getting at. Some people
Some people, yeah, you can find somebody. You can find somebody. I disagree with you. I think there's a million people you could ask that you could try. I know you're saying like, no, they don't have any. Yes, they do. You can find somebody, or you can ask somebody to that you know that may know somebody who could.
Sucks at resumes too. A sub point of what I'm getting at is a lot of times when people are submitting resumes, they're using services like Indeed, where you can upload your resume in whatever format that you have, and then it auto converts it into whatever is sent to the hiring party. And so you'll see this, and it's just all over the place. And so it kind of looks like trash. So I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Zach, you can be the hard-nosed one that doesn't give the second chance, but I'll give you a second chance.
No. Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying that I wouldn't give them a chance or even a second chance. What I'm saying is, before you submit, if you know you're terrible at resumes, don't use the excuse of, well, I'm just terrible at resumes.
Oh, no, don't use that excuse. I'm just saying that, like, as a hiring party, it's good to be aware that some people are.
Yeah, I get it because it's not formatting.
It's not formatting. It's not how it looks. It's about the self-promotion of it. Some people are just not great at going, hey, I did these things, and kind of connecting all the dots for you, because some people might have a great back history or a great career path up until that point, but they're not great at selling themselves. And I think that
comes
with awareness. That's the point.
Yeah. I think too, though, if you've been going through a lot of interviews and you're not getting any hits and you're not getting a job, then you do need to assess. Then there probably is something to do with your resume, because that's what gets you in the front door. Right.
Yeah.
So,
you know, one of the best things I did, I'll let you go. One of the best things I did on a cover letter for a job I wanted was they'd said somewhere down in the copy, like, looking for a marketing rock star. And all I put on the cover letter was, I'm the rock star, call me. And I got a call the next day. It was legit, dude. I was like, oh, I'd feel like a rock star right now. So be bold, I think, is another thing when you're looking for that job, is to be a little bit more bold in those cover letters and those like add-on things that they ask for when you're when you're looking to get hired, because that's the stuff that makes you stand out. Because sure. you know this, when we were looking through all those resumes, this is just like stuff over and over and over again. It's like, yeah. oh my gosh, all these people are the same people, you know? What makes these people different?
Well, then you get a ton of them as the interviewer, where you read over the resume and say, did you even read what the job is? Like, yeah. you applied to this and you have zero skill set in that. And I think that what I was going to say, well, I lost my track. What I was going to say just a few minutes ago, but go ahead.
Okay, Adam.
I thought you had something. Okay. Well, what other tips did you give him?
We have a comment. We can have, Kyle says, my CEO always asks what car they drive and why. I've added it to my list. You can learn a lot about someone.
I bet you can ask it. I bet a better question would be how tidy is your car? Because you really could learn a whole lot more, not necessarily what they drive, but how do they maintain the car? I always think of Michael Scott when he's cleaning out his car and he's got all those.
He's got like
how many fish sandwiches did you eat?
yeah, that's good.
But yeah, I think you could learn a lot, not just from what's in the car, but just, you know, how they keep their car tidy. I mean, but I don't know. Most people aren't going to answer that question by saying it's disgusting.
It's full of filet of fish wrappers.
Filet of fish wrappers. And blue flavor. Blue's not a flavor.
What does he have? The little bottle of cologne?
Yeah.
It's like in the tube. He's like, oh, there's
yeah. Okay, now throw it away.
Russ, I don't own a car. Am I disqualified? Yes, you cannot complete the interview process with us.
Well, I think it would be what we would learn is that you are ozone, what is it, environmentalist, like you're self-conscious of the environment. So you're a green guy. I don't know what you're calling.
He doesn't own a car. He owns a motorcycle and a hang glider. I don't know. I don't know what Russ owns. We're talking about questions. There's always a question I always ask at the end of an interview is, if you could be a superhero, what superhero would you be and why? And, one of the big things that I look for when I'm hiring, and you too, Zach, is we want somebody who's going to mesh with our team. We not only want somebody who's functionally able to do the job, but we want somebody who we enjoy talking to. We enjoy being around.
Right.
We enjoy somebody that we can just have a conversation with. That's what you're doing when you're hiring somebody for your team. You're looking for somebody not only who can functionally do it, but somebody who is going to do the job well and get on well with the team. So I always like to ask that question. And I know we were doing interviews a while back, we asked that one lady, and she like went running out of the room and came back with like a Captain America shield or something. I don't know what it was.
She paused and she said, can you hold on for just 1 second? We're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She walked out of the room and like you could hear like banging and like all this noise in the background. She comes in with like, yeah. And I'm like, wow. Okay. I think it's obvious now. And then there was one guy we asked that we didn't even have to necessarily ask it because it was in the background.
He had the Captain America shield on his wall, right?
Yeah, she had something else. She came in with like she didn't do like a costume change, but she had like a cape or something. I don't know. It was like something.
Oh, I think it was a hoodie. I think it was a Captain America hoodie or a Thor hoodie or something like that.
That's right. Winjet, go Braves.
Okay. Thinking of out of the box questions is always great. I hate asking those questions in interviews and even answering those questions. It's like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? you know, why do you think you're qualified for this position?
Those don't bother me as much. It's the ones with tell me about a time when blah, blah, blah. Tell me about a time.
When you managed conflict, when you experienced conflict and were able to manage it.
I don't mind the question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I actually like that question because I want to see, are they driven?
How would you answer that question?
How would I answer that question?
Yeah, where do you
see where yourself? Where do I want to see?
Yeah, you're interviewing for a spot in my company.
And you're – oh, okay. Well, if I want to see myself in 5 years retired and this business is running itself, that's where I want to see myself in 5 years. And I'm just kicking back. That's what I want to do. And retired. Watch. Yeah, 5 years, man.
At 41? 42? What? How old are you now? 36? 37?
I'm 39. I'm 25. 40?
Stop me when I get there. 42? 43? 50? 70?
Yeah, I'm 75.
Yeah. No, looking see, to retire I would answer 80. That question. I would answer that question crushing it here at this job, you know? Like, I would be saying, like, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't say crushing it. But you know, I would be in this position, making lasting change, and you know, hopefully being a productive member of this team. That's how I would answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I like that question just because I feel like, what does it say? What's the biggest problem you spearheaded and walked through that experience? Great interview question to ask. Yeah, I can see that. But like. I like those types of questions. I don't like tell me about a time or what's your three weaknesses? What's your three strengths?
Yeah.
Like, people lie about that stuff. Like no one's actually answering that question, honestly.
Yeah.
I think you know, get more out of.
I'm sitting here looking at your background and I'm thinking, okay, what's something else that I talked about yesterday? And one of the big ones is when you're interviewing in this day and age, so much more of it happens through here. You're like boop boop da, boop boop, you know, through the computer. And
the boop boop, the boop boop. Are those technical terms?
That was okay. The sound of the internet. So I think that when you're interviewing now, it's different, right? So you're not directly face to face. Rapport is a little bit harder to establish, but you do have things that are going for you. So one of the few things that I mentioned yesterday is make sure you're in a super quiet environment. People understand that you're at home and people understand that, you know, you're in situations where it's where it might be loud and there might be kids, but if at all possible, get yourself to a completely quiet place where you're not going to have any interruptions. And then also fill your background with subtle things that will give clues to the person who's interviewing you that you might be a certain way. So like I'm sitting here interviewing you. I'm going to be listening.
Yeah. What would you say about me?
And, you're a fan of where you live. You're obviously well-read. You're potentially into photography and you like to run. Those are some insights that could go deeper into the conversation that we're having. And so, you know, when you're going through these things, one of the things I said was, our buddy is interviewing for a job at a college. And so I was like, you know what? Put yourself in front of a bookshelf. I was like, you're very well read. You've read a million books.
You almost said butt shelf.
Butt shelf. A butt shelf? Yeah. A bookshelf?
I think that's what that's almost what you just said. A butt shelf. Do not put yourself in front of a butt shelf. That's a different thing.
I haven't had a butt shelf in probably 3 or 4 years. I got rid of mine. I just have bookshelves now. but anyway, you know, put yourself in front of something. So like I'm sitting down now. So my background is a little bit different when I'm standing. I have a full background. I've got pops over here and a design thing here. And I got a wall of my kids' pictures here. And so these are things that reflect on me. And so I think it's important that you fill your background with maybe things that you want to potentially discuss during the call. And I think that it's also important that you know, you do the same as an interviewer. So like you have that kind of professional thing, because the worst thing in the world is when you're doing an interview and it's like the person's down here, like the camera's down here, it's up and you just have like a blank wall behind you. There's no personality that comes out in that. There's no differentiator. that you're going to end that call with, but instead of going like, oh, hey, they have Seinfeld pops, or they've got Super Chicken on their wall. You know, it's like, oh, there's something that can spark a little bit of a reminder when you're thinking back on that person. So fill your background with things that are, you know, things that are exciting about yourself. I see we had a lot of comments come in. Russ asks, oh, how many times have you been in jail? I've never asked that question, Russ.
That's a question you should lie about.
You should not lie about. It's on like the paperwork, isn't it? Isn't that like on?
Right. It's going to be on the paperwork. Yeah, it's going to be on the paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it should. I think they filter those people through. However, you know, if they've been to jail, but you know, get to your point, Jason. Yeah, give them a second chance. Wrong
with that, but don't lie about it.
Yeah.
What is it? If we decided to move forward, how do you see? How do you see how this role could benefit you for your future?
For your future roles, right?
Interesting. Oh, what's another? One of our core values is empowering our employees with skills they can use to cultivate a better quality of life. How can you assist us with making that happen for you? Where in your life needs the most improvement? Ooh, yeah, that's a deep one. I definitely like to ask, training and development questions. I think those are also always a good one to ask about the company you're interviewing with. Like, is there room for advancement? Is there a training schedule? Is there higher learning opportunities?
That's one of the things that I regret not asking in one of the positions I got into early into my career. I was very excited about the job. I was really pumped about it. Got the job. As I got into that position and as I was working at that company, I started looking around and thinking, I can't really go anywhere. Like, this is it. Like, I can't scale upwards here. Yeah. And
like, you started the company as high as you'll go.
The only way it would have happened is if my boss would have retired, but he was the same age as me. So it was like, right. So like, either he moves on to another career, which he had been there for 15 years at that point. It's like, mm-hmm. This guy's not going anywhere. Or I got to go and find something else, which is what I ended up doing. And then another position actually opened up at that company. So there was an advancement, and then I did go back to the company. That's a long story. But that's a really good question to ask is, you know, I think it also shows ambition. I think it says, hey, it's not like, hey, I'm trying to take over everybody's jobs here at this company. But it just shows you that you want to move up. We don't watch Step Brothers.
No, don't do that. Don't watch.
I believe Step I can have
as a framework for how to interview. Actually, do.
I'm sorry.
Tell us how it is.
I'm sorry. Are you saying Pam or Pan? Pan. Oh no, it's like comb with a B. So like Pamb.
You and Chris have this unnatural love for Step Brothers. It's funny, but
I love it, man. Oh, well, there's a deleted scene where it's the same thing, where it's the whole Pan thing. And then it goes, and she goes, you know what? I'm tired of you guys. I'm going to get my supervisor, Tim. And they're like, I'm sorry. Are you saying 10? 10? Or is it 10? Is it Tim? And this just keeps going. Anyways, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yes. Okay. So
don't ask that question.
I actually had this joke yesterday. That's what I told. That's what I told my buddy. I was like, okay, so questions to be prepared for. And then we were just joking around, and this is one of the ones I was like, yeah, this is, don't ask that question. Don't ask that
Mary
question.
Don't do that.
But the,
it depends on the job. It depends on the industry. Am I wrong? It depends on the industry. If you're being hired as an assassin, then that might be an applicable question.
Actually, really important question. That's probably the one they lead with.
They start there and everything goes downhill from
yeah,
there.
Yeah. But no, I think, gosh, there's so much to think about when either you're interviewing for a position or you're interviewing people for your company. Are you more of a Michael Scott or a Dwight Schrute?
Yeah. Oh man, either one of those is a lose-lose. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a that's a good question.
D'Angelo Chris. Vickers.
Yeah, no. Robert California.
No, he's the Lizard King, man. You don't even know his real name.
It's just, yeah, he cracks me up.
The
man.
Office. We're going deep into the office today. No, but I think there's lots of things that you can there's lots of things that you can consider when you're trying to either ask questions as an interviewer or as an interviewee. But always that's another point. Always make sure that you have questions ready to go to ask at the end of an interview.
Yes, I can't.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the one thing I can't stand is, you know, we interviewed several people earlier this year to bring onto the team. And, you know, we've got some people on the team. And one of the questions, you know, at the end of every interview, we always ask, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah.
And it was a telltale for me of like how prepared you were for it. Some of the people, they're like, oh, no, I think I'm good. Really, you can't think of anything, like not one thing, like anything at all. I think that the questions at the end exactly. is very, very good.
Yeah, Chris, great point. I've made decisions not to hire because they never asked me any questions. Yeah, same. You know, I think it's okay if you don't have questions because you can reiterate. You're like, well, I did have a couple, but we talked about compensation and we talked about training paths and we talked about this. If you reiterate that, yes, you came into that with a few questions locked and loaded, I think that kind of is okay for you. Always make sure you have that. Also, I tell you, this is Jason's tip 101 as somebody interviewing for a job. Take notes.
Yes.
As the person being interviewed.
Yes.
I will tell this.
Yes.
Shout out to the first person that ever did this to me. I hired her that afternoon. Her name is Caitlin Betts, copywriter extraordinaire. One of the best employees I've ever hired in my life.
And the thing is, she would be cringing right now.
Oh, she would be mortified to get accolades right now. She's not listening. So, but she took notes. She came in with a notebook. She took notes. She wasn't overly showing that she was doing it. She just had a notebook in her lap and she was taking notes. And then when I asked her if she had any questions, she flipped back in her notebook, looked through her notes, and went, yeah, I had a question about this and da da da. And then she made some more notes. And then at the end of it, she closed her notebook and left. And then when she finished, this is another tip for interviewing 101 is have an email on your phone written to the hiring manager that you're interviewing with right then. Have an email ready to go to send to say thank you. That's it. Thank you. Maybe throw in an anecdote from your conversation like, hey, thank you so much. Really enjoyed learning about the position. Excited to know when you're going to be making a decision. Can't wait to hear from you next week. It was so fun to learn that you like Baby Yoda as well. You know, whatever it is. Spend a couple sentences responding back and saying thank you for the opportunity. It will go miles. But I tell you, taking notes and sending that little thank you and being attentive, it will set you so far above the competition because so many people go in, they spam all of the outlets, Monster.com and Indeed and Glassdoor or whatever. They spam all of these places with resumes looking for a job opportunity, not putting enough effort into looking at it deeply enough. And then when the job comes up, they're not doing research. They're not looking into the company. They're just going into another interview. They're probably a little burned out or not even thinking about it. But if you take the time, do your research, take notes in the interview, have your background filled with things about you, and then send that note after, you will be that was on what I was another gonna, level.
That's what I was going to say. It read the website. Look at the website before you go. Now, I do have a funny story about that. So I do have a friend of mine who he ended up being a coworker of mine, and he ended up sharing how he prepared for the interview. He studied the website so much so that he studied the faces that were on the website.
Yeah.
And he looked at all the faces and he's like, all right, I'm just going to make sure I remember this person's face. And that way
Diane's
I can,
got
like,
the long black hair and
right. That's got to be so-and-so. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And little did he know that the whole website was littered with nothing but stock photos. So none of the people on the website were employees of the company.
You guys look so ugly.
He wasted so much time preparing for that interview, he said, studying faces more than he did reading the content. And he did get the job, but...
Did or did not?
He did. He was a very charismatic person, so I think it just translated in that way, and they were like, we really like your personality. But yeah, study the website, but study the important things. If you know what the job is for, go and read up on that particular information on the site.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, you know, whatever the industry is, whatever is applicable, read the about page. Know who the founders are, know who the important people are in the company if it's listed on the site. Mm-hmm. If it's not, then, you know, obviously that doesn't apply. But yeah, I think that's...
Oh, here's one thing to leave you on, and then we'll go, because I know we're already...
Yeah.
We're 47 minutes in. But, I think that it's always great if you can find them on LinkedIn. Don't connect with them. Just go look at their profile, because they'll get that notification. They'll get that notification that you were looking at their profile, and they'll be like, okay, this person's doing a little bit of research. Don't do it like 5 minutes before. Do it like the day before. But there's all these little things that you can do to...
Don't do it as you're walking in the door. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's just... I think it's a good indicator that you're doing your research ahead of time. So, yeah, take all those. Do whatever feels right specifically for you. But, you know, as somebody who's interviewed a lot of people, I've seen what can go wrong and what can push it off the rails. And I've seen what made a difference to me as the person hiring. And, I think it's things that kind of make you get noticed and stand out.
I agree.
Hopefully these things help. And also, you know, what I would love is for the people who are not watching live, who are listening later, comment with like your positive or cringy interviewing story. So whether you're an interviewer or an interviewee, post your interesting story down below, because I'd love to go back and read them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, guys. Till next week, 2:00 Thursday. Mine's empty, but yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
We out.
Yep. See you guys.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Cast is brought to you by Winject Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.